Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
630 CHED and the Edmonton Oilers Hockey Club present the show that is everything Oilers. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer.
Brought to you by Digitex. Managed print services to keep your printing costs down?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca.
On Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Everybody, it is 106 in Edmonton. This is Oilers Now, brought to you by your title sponsor, Digitex. They wish you and yours all the best during these uncertain times. Hugh Porter and Digitex.ca, Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office technology and software, have been the title sponsor on this show for the last eight seasons. You can reach us on the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline. A reminder of the patio open all ages from 11 until 11 with the largest big screen in the city of Edmonton. Great drink and food specials each day. And when the province gets back up and Adam, River Cree will get back up and fully Adam as well. And you can text us on our Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. Ashley Fine Floors providing winning results for over 35 years. Quickly, just before we go to Mark Spector, I want to squeeze one in. This texter says, the only thing that Winnipeg has going for them is Burton Cummings. Oh, is that from Cletus? First of all, I love the fact that he's going by Cletus. That's just, was that Gunsmoke? Was that where that's from? They had more things going for him in the last series than Edmonton did, as it ultimately turned out. You can tweet us at Oilers Now. Tweet me personally, Bob _ Stauffer. Brendan with two E's, Escott with two T's, at Brendan Escott. We will tell you that guests on the show receive gift certificates to Japanese Village. Now open for takeout orders. Full details at jvedmonton.ca. We head off to the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline. Sportsnet spec Mark Spector for the horses and horse racing Alberta. Live thoroughbred racing back Friday and Sundays at Century Mile. Currently no fan access, but you can watch and wager online at hbibet.com post time 6:15 p.m. Mark Spector joins us. Spec, how are you doing?
Gunsmoke was Festus, Bob.
It was Festus and not Cletus. Okay, there you go.
Festus. Remember he had that limp? He was like the deputy, right?
Yeah. I wasn't. Was it Matt Dillon?
Matt Dillon was the guy, wasn't he? Way before our time. That was when we were kids when that show was finished. But it was Festus, not Cletus. Cletus now, was the Simpsons, as I recall.
Do you have a specific show from the early, because you and me are roughly of the same vintage. We're in our mid-50s. Do you have a specific show that was a favorite? I mean, one day we did an entire show on the Flintstones, but do you have a show when you think back of it, you think, yeah, it was a pretty interesting show, and turned out to be maybe a lot more interesting stuff was going on behind the scenes on that show than maybe we thought?
Yeah, well, that describes Gilligan's Island, if you ever read the stuff about Ginger. But you know the show I used to watch that no one else watched that never went anywhere, but I watched it as a kid? I always watched The Planet of the Apes, man. I watched all the movies, but there was an actual series. And I watched that series as a kid, every single show, and I don't think anyone else did, Bob.
Now, how much advanced analytics went into that at that time, Spec?
Hey, come on. You can't, you can never get enough of Cornelius and his wife. What was her name?
It's your show. I'll give you a couple that the Brady
Vera,
Bunch.
I believe it was Vera.
Okay, Brady Bunch. And yeah. Speaking, was Vera also the name of a character in Bewitched? My daughter would know this.
Bewitched, yeah, we all watched that. Bobby, you're going way back here. Our listeners are like,
get these two old fogies off the air.
Get these two old guys off the air. No kidding.
There was lots of stuff going on behind the scenes on Bewitched as well. And Brady Bunch obviously had a... I remember when Marsh ended up on one of those roasts. Oh, it was just brutal. It was awful. One of those celebrity roasts where you could, at that time, be really politically incorrect and insensitive.
Yes. And yeah, those were good back in the day.
Yes, they were quite funny. All right, Speck, let's get it back on the rails here. Focused on hockey. Come on, we got to get serious. I was completely comfortable. I thought it'd be minimum three for Mark Scheifele. He ultimately got a four-game suspension. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that what you want to see is a suspension that gets us away from, I don't even want to call it a narrative because, frankly, it's been true, the Department of Player Safety never goes hard enough. I mean, they're not going 10 or 12 games here in the playoffs, sorry. I think we can say that the Department of Player Safety handed out, as Elliot outlined in the last segment, you know, historically very tough sentence here. They didn't just give him a game. So I'm happy to see that. I'm happy to see the player safety department get some teeth, Bob.
Yep.
Is that fair to say? I think it's nice to see.
Yeah, no, and I was comfortable with it. And look, Scheifele's a good player. And, you know, that play 30 years ago, nobody would have really looked at. But, well, actually, it would have led to multiple players dropping the flippers and going. Now, you and me have not spoken since the Maple Leafs. We have spoken since the Leafs lost to Montreal because they lost. You did the Tuesday show. It shows you how quickly things can change in the playoffs, right? DeMelo gets hurt in the first shift of the game. And then now Scheifele's suspended for four games, and the Canadians got the jump in game one. Winnipeg's in a little bit of trouble here. Do you not agree, Mark?
Oh, for sure. I mean, this is how your depth gets tested. They're not so deep on defense. You know, I'm not sure if they're running Vesalainen in there or what they're doing, but they're certainly deep up front. But Scheifele's their best player, you know. So, yeah, you're going to have guys that can fill into the lineup, but it's a you lose your best player, you lose your trigger man on the power play off that, you know, the left side, offside wing for him. I'm not going to say it's a death blow because we've seen a lot of examples in the playoffs of teams that can overcome this, but this is the whole meat of the series here. They're down 1-0. He's not coming back till game six if they can get that far. So this is a big one for sure. And you know what? Scheifele will have to, you know, this is Scheifele making a bad decision. It's not like last year when Tkachuk injured Scheifele in a goofy play, and you thought, man, poor Scheifele, that's bad luck. This isn't bad luck, Bob, right? This is Scheifele, the leader of your team, your best player, making a poor decision and paying the piper here.
We had Elliot on in the last segment and discussed sort of the parameters, like what would the Leafs target to it, like, and he does not think Seth Jones would be on that radar screen. Elliot is of the belief the Oilers are re-signing Larson. I could see something like that happening even potentially within the next week to two, getting that done well in advance. I mean, some people say, well, they should have a backdoor deal in place where they don't protect Larson and then anybody signs, you know, opening day of free agency. I think it's going to get done before that. But the question I have for you is, have you heard anything at all about Seth Jones?
Yeah, Edmonton's name's coming up around, you know, the Seth Jones debate. So fair, right? I think if I'm Ken Hull and I'm making a phone call and asking what Columbus is looking for here. But, you know, when I think about their situation, Bob, they're in trouble in Columbus, right? They've got this string of guys who have left town on them. They've got something going on inside that hockey team, inside that dressing room that's causing their best players not to want to play there. You know, and now they've got Liney there, and he had the worst year of his career, and we're sort of wondering what's happening there, too. So if you ask me, Bob, the Oilers could make, you know, let's just say for fun, who wouldn't want Seth Jones on your blue line, by the way? I mean, you have him and Nurse on separate pairings. That's your top four. The third pairing might not even have to play. But I'm saying to you, Bob, that the Oilers don't have right now players to give back. If Columbus was looking for tomorrow, looking for draft picks and prospects, I think the Oilers could make a deal. If they're looking for guys right this second, because if I'm Columbus and I'm trying to sell tickets and I got a bunch of guys leaving town, I can't take a pocket full of tomorrow draft picks, prospects, guys who haven't played. I need a bunch of right now for Seth Jones. So I don't think the Oilers are in that conversation.
Okay.
And I guess it comes to this, Bob. If I'll put you in Jarmo Kekäläinen's shoes. If you're talking to Ken Holland, what are you asking for from the Oilers? And does it start with Broberg or Bouchard?
And I'm not doing that. Sorry, I'm not. Would you?
Well, if you're not, put it this way, if you're not willing to trade one of Broberg or Bouchard, then say, thanks, Yarmo, I got to go. We can't even have this conversation. Seth Jones is an annual in the top six Norris pool here, right? He's a Norris Trophy candidate now. I know he's had a couple of lousy years. I get it. He's a really, really, really good player. He's better than Darnell Nurse. How about that?
He wasn't this past year.
Okay, but for the majority of his career, he has been.
Well, and Mark, the other factor is, you could make an argument, could they sign Nurse and Jones to the same deal? Could they get both guys priced at 8? Can you do that? Toronto's got $40 million tied up in four forwards. Yep. The Oilers have got $21 million tied up in the two best scores in the league the last 2 years.
Okay.
And then could you spend $16 million on a pair of D? Let's just say you got 8 and 8. You did eight times eight for Darnell and 8 times 5 for Jones.
Sure. Just for fun, let's use those numbers.
I think you have to explore it, but I think you would have to give. I would be very reluctant to move Bouchard and Broberg, and people are gonna. I'm gonna tell you right now. I think if Bouchard, put it this way, if Bouchard ends up being the guy in the power play next year, because my guess is Barry's gonna be able to sign for more money elsewhere. If Bouchard ends up running the Oilers' power play, I could see him being, and I'm serious about this, a 40 to 50 point season player next season. That's how much confidence I have in his abilities.
Well, that's good, but I guess what I'd say to you is. You know, the Oilers are, I think after this season, we're into sort of win now territory.
Starting next season, they're in win now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying too. So we agree on that. So I'm not saying that means you foolishly give away all of your future to win next season. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying if you can turn a Howell's Bouchard 2021, maybe 21 next season.
He's 21 now. He'll be 22 next season, Mark.
Okay. If I could turn a 22-year-old who's just about to basically embark on his NHL career, we're both in agreement he's going to be a full-time NHLer next year. It's still going to be called his rookie season, if I'm not mistaken. If I could trade him for a guy like Seth Jones, who's a Norris Trophy candidate annually and in his prime at the age 27, I'll do that in a heartbeat in terms of going from Bouchard, who's not going to be as good as he's going to be for about 4 or 5 years, to getting Seth Jones, who is as good as he's going to be. And frankly, if I told you right now that Bouchard could be as good as Seth Jones, you'd take it in a heartbeat. I mean, that's how good Seth Jones is.
The Chisler
prime
has the
player.
Voice from a past, the Chisler has texted the show, Mark Spector, Zira.
Yes, it's Zira.
Was Cornelius's wife. My personal favorite was Dr. Zeus. Is it Zaius?
Dr. Zeus.
Zaius. Yeah. I watched them all. And then he adds, please tell Spector that Jones hasn't been better than Darnell Nurse over the last two seasons. So...
Yeah, well, listen, I mean, that's a debate, and let's wait till the pubs are open, and we'll sit down and we'll debate it all night long. But my point is, you're basically getting another Darnell Nurse. Look how important one of them was for you this year. What if you had two, a lefty and a righty?
Yeah.
Listen, let's stop this for a second, and I want to say, I don't think the Oilers are going to get this deal. Columbus wants right now players for Seth Jones. I don't think the Oilers have the right now to give up. They got to give up some tomorrow.
Randy,
I don't think they're going to be in this thing.
Yeah, Randy says, Bob, Ethan Bear, Dmitry Samarukov, and this year's first for Seth Jones. Does that get it done? I think you need to. It's got to be more than that.
Yep.
I just want to say that. And B says, Bob, Darnell all day over over Seth Jones. More depth on the right side. Anyways, there it is. That one comes to us from B. You can text us at 780-496-0063. Anything on Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, Mark?
Well, you know what I'm thinking about Ryan Nugent-Hopkins? Just talking to some people and being around a little bit. I think if any page, I heard your conversation with Elliot, and I know that you're of the mind that there was certainly a deal to be had earlier that didn't quite get done. I think that certainly my experience with agents, with guys like Nugent Hopkins, the season's over. They've had 12 months almost to make a deal here with the Edmonton Oilers to negotiate, to go back and forth. I suspect that the Oilers will be looked at as, frankly, they're really one of 31 teams in terms of making offers now. I think that most agents would have closed the door by now on, hey, let's go back and forth and hammer out a deal together. I think it's up to the Oilers to make an offer, and it's up to the Nugent Hopkins camp to say, we like this offer, or we're going to market. I think we've probably gone from step one to step two. Step three is when they say, see you later, Edmonton. We're going out into the league. I don't think they're there yet by any means. But I suspect that, listen, they've had how many months, Bob, for Holland and Rick Follett, the agent, to, you know, to sit down and cordially make a deal here. They haven't done it. So I think that Ken Holland has to come up with a number and lay it down on the table. And if it's the number, it's the number. And if it's not, you know, he's going to be looking for two left wingers, not one.
My guess, Mark, is if Nugent, and I'm at 50-50 whether or not this gets done, okay? Like, I'm at 95-plus, you know, 90-plus on Adam Larson getting done.
Yeah.
But I'm at 50-50 with Nugent. If the number gets done, my guess is the Oilers aren't going to be 100% happy with it, and the Nuge camp with Rick Vallette and Octagon won't be 100% happy with it. And the fans that believe that this is a player that gets sub 5-2-5 money, unless we're talking on an 8-year extension, they're going to be disappointed too. Because I think there's
you're going from 6 to sub 5.25, Bob. That's not going to happen.
I'm with you. So I think there's a sweet spot in this deal, and it's one that's got, you know what? Like, because I do think there would be, like, Columbus. Let's circle back to Columbus. I think Columbus, they just lost Max Domi for the first 6 months. They need a center. Like, he's out the next 6 months, so he's going to miss the first couple months of the season next year. They need a center. They've asked about Nugent Hopkins in the past. We both know that. He would make sense there. They got a guy in Patrick Laine who's a shooter. They're trying to play Roslovic as a center. Like, they've got some challenges down the middle. Columbus would be a team. Would Seattle be interested in Nugent Hopkins? So to the defense of the camp there, Spec, for Octagon and Rick Vallette and Ryan, he would have, even though he didn't kill it even strength scoring, three primary even strength assists all season. The reality is there would be teams interested in him out in the marketplace.
Oh, for sure, Bob. I don't think anyone thinks that Ryan Nugent Hopkins is going to have a relatively easy time finding a job this year. The question marks are these. Is he going to find a job with a team that gives him, you know, after 10 years of banging his head against the wall here at Edmonton, he's finally on a team that, given some right moves, you know, might be a cup contender here soon. Is he going to find that team? Right? He's just played 10 years in the league without a chance of winning a cup in any of the years, frankly. If you go to Seattle, you're extending that by another 5 or 6 years, probably. If you go to Columbus, is Columbus ever going to win, Bob? You know, I don't. Yeah. Doesn't look like it. So that, to me, is the Ryan Nugent. Am I just going somewhere for money and term, or am I trying to win something here? Are there winning teams, top clubs that are contending that could bring you a cup that are going to come give you the same money you're going to get in Edmonton? That I'm not sure of, Bob.
Mark, a final text I'm going to get you to, because then I'm going to ask you about a different player than the text was suggesting. On the Ashley Fine Flores text line, Bob and Mark, with the cap situation in Tampa, is there any way the Oilers can get Braden Point? We both know the answer. No. There's no chance Tampa Bay is moving.
You got a better chance at Coleman or Goodrow.
Yeah, well, they're both UFAs, but I'm going to give you, they're going to have to move, you know, a Kalorn out. Or potentially Palat, or beg somebody to take an asset with Tyler Johnson. So the question I have for you is, would you have interest in Alex Kalorn?
Yeah, I would. I mean, it's always about, I don't even know offhand what he's making, for one.
So he's in the fives.
Right, so he's in the fives. So listen, the Oilers are light on top six wingers, that's for sure. And this is a guy that's come from a good program, and he's been a good player. When the games get...
I am incorrect. He's making $4.45 million. He's got 3 years left. He's got a limited no-trade. He can submit 16 teams to a no-trade list. I would suggest to you that if Alex Kalorn played here, given what Patrick Maroon did in Edmonton, he scored 27 goals 1 year. I think that Kalorn had a pretty good year this year.
He's a good player.
He had 26 goals, Mark, last year in 68 games. He'd probably be a 25 goal scorer if he was on McDavid's line. So
okay, you know, and he, you know what I think about Kalorn as well is you notice him. Obviously, we get to now see Tampa play in a lot of big games. tough playoff hockey where it's hard to produce. And he's a guy that gets in there and produces. He's a guy that he's in the hard places. You know, I think what we're learning here, again, in Edmonton is it's one thing to be a good regular season player / team, and it's quite another to do it in the postseason. And you are getting a guy who does it in the postseason. So I don't mind that part about him.
Well, Mark, sometimes the narrative can change. In 18-19, when he just had one goal and Tampa Bay got swept in four straight by Columbus, they were questioning some of Tampa's players at that time.
Sure they were. Absolutely.
Then they won the cup the next year and everything changed, right? Mark.
Julian Brisebois stuck with his lineup the same way Dubas sounds like he's going to stick with his lineup. So I guess let's see if Dubas can get done what Brisebois did.
Awesome stuff. Spec, have a great weekend. We'll talk on Tuesday, okay?
All right, Bobby, have a good weekend.
That is Mark Spector for the Horses and Horse Racing Alberta. And we want to remind you that live Thoroughbred Racing is back Fridays and Sundays at Century Mile. No fan access at this time, but you can watch and wager online at HBIBet.com. Post time is 6:15. We'll take a quick timeout. You're listening to Oilers Now.
Hi, this is Jajar Kara from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
Jajar Kara is a restricted free agent. I could see him returning here. Yep, absolutely. There's an old saying in the car business, cars cost less than Wetaskiwin. Brent Ridgeford in Wetaskiwin is committed to providing unequaled automotive excellence, resulting in completely satisfied lifetime customers. If you currently have a vehicle that you're not using enough, or payments or interest rates that are too high, or a vehicle that you might want to sell or refinance or trade in for something different, go visit Uncle Milt, Rich, Johnny, and the gang at Brent Ridgeford. You can reach them at 1-877-477-3673 or visit BrentRidge.com. Jack Michaels is coming up. He's going to talk about the awesome penalty that was called in overtime in the Vegas-Colorado game in Game 2. Marc-Andre Fleury, Carey Price, and the situation with the Winnipeg Jets and also the Toronto Maple Leafs. And the comparable that was it Bill Burr that made a comparable that said that the Leafs fans have suffered along the same lines as the Cleveland Browns. We'll have to hit on that as well. Off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.